everyone doing tonight? Woo! Welcome to a star-spangled event like you've never seen before. We got some awesome things going on for you guys tonight here. Very special event here at Tirnanog. We got Night of Living Dead going on here for y'all. And over there, you got Sean selling his awesome art. Sean being down there. He's done a lot of comedy down here and all over, traveling around to the likes of places like Chicago and in the middle of America. And also you got Bailey doing palm readings over there. You see, I think she's actually reading someone's palm right now. Yeah, there she goes. I'm seeing her palm as she waves to me. Also, guys, I'm Raffle Guy right over here. It is $2 for a ticket or $3 for five. All right, it's easy as that. You just find me. I have the raffles right over there with the jug. So again, $2 for a raffle, $3 for five to chance to win one of these awesome prizes. We got. I think that's Nosferatu and some other cool stuff. We got Night of Living Dead stuff and all sorts of cool goodies. Chance to win at the end, guys. Are you ready to see this show? Cheer and applause. Fake it. Lie to me. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up to your Average Joe's. Doing your Average Joe movie show podcast with Zach, Matt, and Drew. No, I got denied the high five there. Here we go. Here you guys. Here we go.
That's Matt's mic.
Is this mine?
Uh-huh.
This is mine.
Hey guys, what's up? We did it. We're here. First of all, give Tirnanog a round of applause for letting us do this here tonight. Super fucking cool of them. Give them a round of applause, guys.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, it's don't worry about
fucking
that.
Fucking moving, Drew.
So we're the Average Joe movie show. How many of you guys have been to an Average Joe show before or listen to the podcast? Make some noise. Make some noise.
I say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7.
Yeah,
eight.
That's
eight.
Seven people, baby. I like that no one gives a fuck about this. They're like,
I'll tell you right now what I don't give a fuck about is that House on Haunted Hill DVD that
I know
you're raffling off.
That's because you gave it to me. And now I'm giving it to someone else.
It's a fucking re-gift. Whoever gets that, I'm sorry.
Look, this is...
The fucking movie sucks.
There's a lot of re-gifting. I went to Atlantic Sounds. Half the shit that they had from the DVDs was from Atlantic Sounds. Shout out to Atlantic Sounds.
Yeah.
They're awesome.
Atlantic Sounds across the street. Wait. Across the street, over the river.
In case you're wondering, I didn't just go around my house finding shit Matt gave me to give
to
you.
Yes, he did.
No, I got someone to give me these with some guilt. Okay, we got these fucking paintings. Look at this. You all like Satan? Buy this. Okay.
Guilt equals blowjob.
If you're listening to just the audio of this, you should have came to the show. Fuck you. got that Night of the Living Dead poster with a frame. I fucking paid for all that shit. Fuck you guys. Also, This is a shot glass, a skull shot glass from Altercation Fest. No one tell those guys that I'm regifting that too. Yeah,
this is not recorded.
Oh, okay, the good.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Even better. Okay,
so.
And a copy of Drunkard Magazine, which is fucking hilarious. If you've never got to read that,
what is Drunkard Magazine?
Drunkard Magazine is a Austin-based magazine where it's all about just drinking. So,
sounds self-explanatory.
Yeah, it's cool. But it's very funny. It's like satire, and it's a comedy drinking magazine. So you guys will like that. And then we got some DVDs to raffle off, just so you guys feel like you got something to bar tab. We're gonna do all kinds of shit, so it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Well, we have been doing a collection of podcasts this past few weeks. It is obviously October, so we've been doing a horror collection. So we started out with the 70s horror 2 weeks ago. We started to get into 80s horror last week, which, Shane, did you give me that show yet? No, we're good. We're good. So you're going to get that all at once, but that was between 1980 and 1984. This week, we're continuing our 80s collection, 1985 to 1989. Is anybody's favorite horror movie Child's Play or anything like that? Fuck no, I didn't think so.
It's just a weird thing to say, I think.
I don't think it's weird.
It's just in case people don't hear all the words, you know, be like, my favorite Child's Play, and people are like, what the fuck?
Favorite movie is Child's.
Why'd you pick that one out of the blue? Is that yours?
Yes.
Gross.
It's okay. But no, I started to make the list for this week, and it was way fucking bigger than 1980 to 1984. Like, that explosion of movies went just exponentially more in the past, those 4 years. And honestly, it has my favorite horror movie of all time, starting out with Reanimator. You know, this big zombie... what's the big word I'm trying to think of? It's not a big word. It's a small one. Good.
A big zombie penis. Yes, that's correct.
It's, you know, the zombie genre just really skyrocketed at between 85 and 89.
You fucking got it, dude. It was genre the whole time. You guys suck, dude.
I was asking you, not them.
Oh,
I'm not
shit.
A part
of
the show.
You're right. Fuck.
I mean, you can be. Of course. Just yell it out. I don't care. But 1985, we'll start off there.
Okay.
Reanimator, one of my favorite movies of all time.
I was born January 18th, 1985. Let's start there. How about that? Yeah. Coldest day of the year. Halifax Hospital, room 12.
Is all that true?
I'm special. I'm so special.
Yeah, Zach, everybody already knows you're old as fuck. You don't got to point that out.
All right, well.
Everybody knows, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, these start to go like non-traditional zombie flicks. Like you'll have Return of the Living Dead, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But, you know, with this is one of those actually non-traditional. It's, you know, Jeffrey Combs, he starts off as Herbert West, and he's this crazy doctor who claims that, you know, they're pretty much going off the Frankenstein, theory, you know, that life can happen after death, after 6 minutes of brain death. And he tries to prove it by creating this serum called Reanimated Serum. It's this highlighted green serum that you put into any part of the body, and that body will come back to life no matter how long it's been dead.
It's just such a huge thing from the 80s, too. They're just like, what color do we make that? They're like, fucking lime green, dude. Make it glow. Like,
but I have the tattoo. That was my first tattoo ever, right here. Nobody can see it because I'm blocked. Actually, everybody thinks I'm a drug addict. Never mind.
Yeah, that's the best thing about 80s movies is like 80s horror movies is the excess was best. Like anything goes, no matter what, you know. 70s movies were so scary, and it was classical scores. And you get into the 80s, and it's like all synthesized scores, and that was like the big prominence of liquid foam latex effects for the first time. Coolest special effects you've ever seen, and there was nothing you couldn't put in the movie. Just
exactly.
The bigger, the better. Excess is best. You
and,
know?
And they always, like, specifically with Reanimator, they actually took from... They took a lot from Hitchcock because the score that they had was pretty much cut and paste from Psycho. You know? I was like, I know that fucking score. I know it for a fact. And then I watched Psycho. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a direct ripoff, it seems like.
I think they got sued, if I'm not mistaken. So... It's
speaking of Psycho, I was rifling through a bunch of books that I had a shitload of books at one point when I was domesticated, and I decided to put them in
a
storage.
Cat back in the day.
I decided to keep them all in a storage unit, and then the other day I was like, I'm paying someone $75 a month to hold my books. This is fucking insane. So I was like, let me go get these out, and I pulled out. I have no idea how the fuck I got it. Someone must have gave it to me. I forgot I had it, but it was Anne Heche's book. You know, Anne Heche from the remake of Psycho. Does anybody remember that fucking...
Fuck that fucking movie,
my God.
Dude.
Did somebody woo that? Fuck yeah, dude.
Dude.
I love knowing that somebody's favorite horror movie is the remake of Psycho and their favorite rapper is a dude that sings Come My Baby from fucking... What is that band? Fucking...
Nobody knows and nobody cares.
Come My Baby, come My Lady. That fucking horse shit. Yeah.
Whoever knows that gets the House on Haunted Hill remake.
Fuck back yeah, there. Dude. You just...
Who was it?
Pepper wins, dude. Yeah, Crazy Town, thank you.
Those Crazy fucking... Town. give him his House on Haunted Hill remake DVD.
Somebody got the goddamn DVD. Anyway, yeah, and the book, the title of the book is Call Me Crazy, because she lost her fucking mind after making Psycho.
Oh, my God.
That's got to be so sad. You lost your mind after making a remake,
a shot for shot remake that was the worst remake of all time. I would lose my mind too.
Shout out Vince Vaughn, though. You know
what?
Okay.
All right, let's move on here. Yeah. I hate that movie. Like I said, we were talking about some zombie movies and kind of one of the best zombie movies from the 80s period. Well, there's two of them that we'll discuss, but the first one is Return of the Living Dead. Drew, I know that's one of your favorites. Why does that make, that's probably the best zombie movie of the 80s, would you say?
I think it might even be the most iconic 80s horror film. You know, it's just everything it embodies everything 80s horror. You know, it's super over the top. You got everybody dressed up in like the ridiculous, exaggerated 80s punk costumes and stuff. All like the just the intentionally terrible writing and good one-liners and quotes. The gore and special effects are all hands-on. There's not really any awesome special effects like the classic Tar Man zombie. Yeah. Like there, nothing was really CGI'd or anything like that. It's just. All around, it's super fun. It's super campy. 80s horror was all about comedy. Like when I try and think of a scary, truly scary, like get under your skin, make your skin crawl, can't sleep at night movie from the 80s, it's harder to come up with one than it was like maybe back in the 70s, like The Exorcist or The Omen or The Amityville Horror or something like that. 80s is just fun comedy over the top. And I just don't think there's a more fun film that embodies 80s horror than Return of the Living. It might be my favorite from the whole decade. I love that. I got to meet Lene Quigley at a convention last year, who played Trash in the movie. Got my picture taken. It was like one of the highlights of my life. She was like the sweetest lady ever.
And she was also hottest one in that movie.
And she's still pretty hot.
Actually, they just
you get
announced
to see her naked for like half of the film. She's literally stark naked from head to toe for like half of the film, but they made her wear like some sort of weird prosthetic or something.
That was oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wow,
but yeah, it's pretty cool.
They just announced at Spooky Empire that the main punk guy, I forget, he wasn't the one that turned. What was his name? The one that was like the one that was driving the car. I can't fucking remember his name.
Yeah, he's gonna be there.
Yeah, he's gonna be there. So I'm super stoked on that. I'll have to look it up his name, but. Not right now. But you said that there's not a lot of scary, actually legitimately scary horror movies from the 80s. Like, it's hard. It's few and far between.
We are gonna
talk about one. Yeah. And it's going to be Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. So that movie really just brought, you know, like, serial killers on the map, which is... not a good thing, of course, but, you know, like everybody talks about, you know, Ted Bundy and all that. And, you know, with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they talk about Ed Gein. But Henry, Portrait of the Serial Killer, that's really, you know, not to say I am a serial killer, but if I was a serial killer, it'd probably be that.
Kind of sound like a serial killer, dude.
I know this doesn't sound right.
I don't know if you guys know this. I live in his house.
I still haven't killed him. Or stuffed him in a suitcase and left him in the road.
Kind of wish he would, actually. I don't.
It's kind of one of my things.
Tired. I don't know. Anybody else want to live? No? All right. Shit. Actually, speaking of Spooky Empire, we're going to Spooky Empire. We're going to be doing a panel. Is anybody going to Spooky Empire? We got anybody doing that?
No? Cool. Not going to see us.
I know there's people out there that are. You guys are just like, well, we're sitting here. That's fine. I'm so happy you're here in the first place. I will bribe you with beer.
I won't do any of that, but I would love to see you
there. We literally bribed them with beer at the last three shows we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
I had Bush.
First 20.
Hey.
Fuck yeah, dude. Bush.
Fucking you're right. So, but yeah, we're going to be at Spooky Empire. That's in a couple weeks, but we're talking about Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Thank you, Zach, for getting us off subject.
It's what I do best. Thank you.
I made a list of my favorites for this, I struggled with it, of course, but I put that at the top. That and I think Return of the Living Dead were at the top of the list for two very different reasons. You know, that's the perfect like polar opposite of what Return of the Living Dead is. It is just a gritty, gnarly masterpiece. It's absolute realism. I remember seeing the VHS on the shelf at Blockbuster when I was a kid and just being like, there's no fucking way my parents are going to let me watch that movie. Like, that just looks, it looks too intense, you know? And the first time I ever saw it, it stuck with me. Like, I could feel it in my gut. It's a really intense, realistic movie. The opening score is so memorable. And to this day, I still think it just holds up better than almost anything from the time period, you know? If a 16-year-old kid were to watch it today, you know, as much as film has progressed since then, they'd still, I think be disturbed by it. It's a really disturbing film.
You know, that movie mostly reminds me of, like, I was thinking about it, and Last House on the Left. It just made that kind of that same feel. It almost like that almost found footage type-esque that it had to it, especially in the beginning, which you talked about. Yeah. And, you know, throughout that movie, like, I was just on edge that whole time. I was just like, when the fuck is this guy going to snap? And he doesn't snap. He just calmly kills everybody in his path. I'm just like, that is even more creepier than snapping and then killing everybody in the room. So, like, you Has anybody seen this film? Woo! Woo! One, two. I'm gonna spoil it. No, no, I won't spoil it. But if you do end up seeing it, it is a very dark ending to this film. You think that it's gonna end on such a high note, and it fucking doesn't. It can rub people the wrong way, but it's.
I don't feel spoiled.
Spoiled?
I don't feel spoiled right now. I've never seen it. I feel fine.
Do you want me to give it away for you and everybody else here?
I didn't learn anything, and I'm fine with it. Let's move on. I'm kidding.
Didn't it originally get like an X rating or something like that? It was banned originally, which was not that uncommon for the time. There were a lot of banned movies. Me and a couple friends went to the Enzian Theater last night over in Winter Park and saw Necromantic. That was another one that's still banned in like at least 10 countries. It's banned in Canada and Finland and Iceland and who knows where.
Why don't you describe that movie for us, all of us here? What is a Necromantic and what's the film?
It's another one, like a sickie horror movie from the 80s that's not trying to be funny in any way. It was originally shot in 16mm, I think, and it's like super grainy and washed out looking. It's just the epitome of like a grindhouse movie, exactly what you think it is. But the special effects in the movie were so gruesome, the corpses that they made, that at the time people genuinely believed they were real. Everybody thought it was real. To this day, I still kind of think some of it's real. You know, it's
he just sprinkled dead people into it.
Yeah, it's there's a couple bad special effects in it too, but it's just it's a really gnarly, low budget grindhouse picture from I think originally from Germany.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's all about basically a guy who works as like a road cleanup crew, picking up accident victims. All kinds of gnarly macabre stuff, and he's dating a girl that's obsessed with death and a necrophiliac, so he brings the corpses home and they have sex with them and do all this gnarly stuff with them. So naturally it's still a very shocking film.
Yes.
Can I just say I love this bar so much. There is nowhere else you can go where you can be like, yeah, and then they fuck dead bodies. Everybody's like, yes, thank you, finally. Someone says it.
Well, you fucking missed it in theaters last night. So.
Well, those are the two that come to mind when I think of like banned films from the 80s that probably should have been banned. And like, there's a reason why Necromantic and Henry were banned, because those movies are fucking disturbing.
Yeah. Definitely.
Sometimes people just go like, hey, I'm a filmmaker, and somebody goes, what do you make? And they're like, just movies. And they're like, cool. You want some money to make some? Yeah, thanks. And then they make it and they go, what the fuck happened? It was like, we didn't give him a psyche valve first. Apparently.
We
just gave him a bunch of money.
And they liked the script apparently, but... you know, you talk about Necromantic, and it just makes me think of Frankenhooker for some reason. I don't know why.
Frankenhooker shouldn't, because it's not the same.
That's getting into 1990 territory, but...
I thought it was 1989. Oh, shit, I fucked this list up. Shit.
Frankenhooker...
Was it 90?
I think.
You're right. You're probably right.
Can we talk about my favorite thing?
Your favorite thing?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing?
I really love Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That movie is totally fucked. It makes no goddamn sense. No bit of that movie. I remember the first time I watched it, and I just went, I can do anything.
I love how they all have boxing gloves. It's like they watched Rocky and they're like, yeah.
They're like, let's make their hands match their shoes. Walk around with big fucking frumpy things on them. But I also love Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
My God. Yeah, dude. One of the greatest horror sequels of all time. It's in my top five in all of the 80s, I think.
It took him to make that next movie. Like, it was such a hit.
74 to 87 is when that finally came out. And
that's because of what you said, though, about the change in film at the time.
That's the perfect way to describe it. Exactly. Tobe Hooper, the same filmmaker, made Texas Chainsaw in 74 as the grittiest horror masterpiece of all time, arguably. And then in 87, he made the campiest, most over-the-top, insane, also very disturbing, but comedic horror film, which was Texas Chainsaw 2 in 87.
Yeah. Started off Bill Moseley's like epic career in horror.
Well, also, I know y'all are going to fucking judge me on this. I like Texas Chainsaw the Next Generation. I love it. Because the first
still
time...
Still 90s, still not good.
Yeah, it's okay. It's 94 and it's not that great a movie. It's the first time a girl and I ever dry humped together. So, yeah.
What, to all the scenes with Matthew McConaughey?
And I fucking held my nut in while Matthew McConaughey hobbled around with that fucking leg brace on. and they sat at dinner and fucking, yeah. And I did not come in my pants at 14. Thank you.
I think that was worse than the John Woo segment. Fuck
did
that.
You say the John Woo segment? Guys, you know what time it is. You know what time it is. Everybody clap it up for What's New with John Woo. Clap it up. Clap it up. Okay. This is the part of the show where I tell you guys what's new with John Woo. I know what you're thinking. Why the fuck are you talking about John Woo? Because sometimes there's a lag in the show, or I just am out of my fucking mind and I decide that I want to talk about something weird. John Woo, if you don't know him, he's the guy that puts doves in action movies for no fucking reason. So, John Woo, what's new with him? I'll tell you. I Google it every week for this show. That's the most work I do. I don't watch these. They watch all the movies. They know all kinds of weird little facts, and I'm impressed by it because I don't know dick. But every week, I Google John Woo. I am the only one, most likely. There's like me and like a 13-year-old Asian kid. I don't know. That was
the last time we checked in with John Woo here is, you know, they were remaking his most famous movie.
They did, first of all, two writers from Comedy Central from The Daily Show made a John Woo Shakespeare musical.
That's a real thing?
That's a real thing. So if you want to go to New York and watch that, you can. Also, they're remaking Face Off. Which is a fucking... Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, boo indeed, sir. It is a sacrilege. That movie is fucking horseshit, and it's beautiful. It is the worst...
I want to take his face off.
Somebody should have shot that writer in the fucking head the minute they wrote that down.
It might have been John Woo. All
right, well, that's okay. See, that's a problem. I love the dude, apparently. Because I started this segment. What's new with John Woo? I'll fucking tell you. John Woo to be honored at the Hawaii International Film Festival for Jojo Rabbit. How about that? Yeah,
have you seen
news.
Jojo Rabbit?
No, I have not.
It sucks.
Okay, well, you know, the Hawaii International Film Festival didn't fucking think so.
That's why they're in the Pacific.
All right.
So...
I think that was racist, but it's fine. He doesn't.
I didn't call the people there in the. Whatever.
Mr. Bennett, what you just said was the most insanely idiotic, incoherent response. At no point in anything that you said was there anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everybody in this room is now dumber having heard it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And you will receive no points.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Forgot that part.
All right. I'll give a copy of Blair Witch out.
You can give it out to yourself.
I'll give a copy of Blair Witch out to the first person that can say that. What is it?
What?
Billy Madison?
Yeah.
He got it.
That's his name. That's half his name.
Disqualified.
He's right.
His name's Billy. He's fucking disqualified. Kick him out.
It's okay. It's okay. Wait, no, he does get it. He'll get Blair Witch.
That's right. You get a not a Blu-ray. You get a DVD.
Billy
Blair
likes
Witch.
To drink.
Keep
soda.
It up. You'll get a VHS, and after that, Laserdisc.
Yeah. Try me again, Mister. I will shove it in both our asses. All right.
Hey, that reminds me of Necromantic. That's,
We were talking about Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Drew was so rudely interrupted.
I am very
until...
sorry. I apologize. Okay.
Wait, no, he was talking about Killer Clowns.
What were you talking about then?
I interrupted myself.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, that's what we were talking about, and then you decided to fuck it up.
Technically speaking, I interrupted myself, so...
Horror sequels in this day and age, when they come out, we generally expect them to be shit. Well, everything in the late 80s was good. I don't care what it was. There were so many great horror filmmakers. John Carpenter, George Romero is a great example. Toby Hooper, all the greats were making horror, and even the sequels were good. Like, sequels dominated horror in the 70s, or in the late 80s, I mean. Sorry. VHS was prominent at that time. That's a big thing. You know, we're doing 70s, 80s, 90s, all the way on with our podcast this month. 80s was what a lot of you in this room and myself grew up with, you know, just meandering through the horror section of Blockbuster and looking at the crazy-ass cover art and the great one-liners on the boxes. And sequels were prominent because even if they didn't have a big enough budget to be released straight to theaters, they'd just go straight to video, you know, but... they were all good. Texas Chainsaw 2 is like the best example. Aliens is another good one. Phantasm 2 was awesome.
Did you like Alien or Aliens?
I like Alien more, personally. But,
truly the next generation of Alien movies.
Evil Dead 2, I think, is the prime example. The thing about late 80s horror sequels is they would either be on par or they would one-up their predecessors, and you just don't see that in many other... There aren't sequels in the 70s. You start to see the sequels in the 90s that just, right off the bat, like, they started being really played out, you know? Actually, probably the best one is Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors. I think that's the best of the series.
Can anybody name the band in Nightmare on Elm Street 3? That made them famous. If anybody can name it, I will give them that poster right there. You don't even have to raffle it. That motherfucker gets it right there.
What poster are you just giving him?
I just gave him the Night of the Living
Dead
poster.
Hold on. There's a Pet Cemetery poster that you can have instead. It's fucking I have a Pet Cemetery.
See, look at this guy. This guy's even best. Give him the Night of the Living Dead poster.
I fucking promise these people a goddamn raffle. You're just handing things out?
Yeah.
All right.
That's exactly how the show goes. Give it to him.
Well, yeah, so...
No, fuck you. I bought it. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
You'll get it at the end of the show.
We'll give you the thing. Thanks for coming, dude.
Yeah.
I saw him last night. He was like, I'll be there. Now he's here. Look at that.
Yeah, so Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Shit. Yeah, that's. I think it's the best, the strongest of the series, you know. And you just don't see that in this day and age. Strong horror sequels. Normally, they're just cash cows. You get rid of the original director. You get rid of the original cast, producers, whatever. Put on a whole new... group of people, and then it just comes out like shit. You got to keep the creative process in line with the original, which means involving the same people.
That's going to be the next generation's like shitty 80s movies or whatever. It's going to be those weird sequels. There's like a Butterfly Effect 2 with no one you know in it. There's a Mean Girls 2 with no one you know. Like, there's a whole, like, there was this thing, they still do it, but there was this thing in late 2000s where they were just like, yeah, just put two on the end of it and make the same movie with shitty actors. And then they just fucking pulled a bunch out. Yeah.
Well, that just reminds me of Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Oh, my God.
It's a very...
Nightmare on
Elm
Street 2.
I don't know if anybody's seen it. Like, just, like, if they went from Nightmare on Elm Street 1 to 2, like, just... in the same night, and you're just like...
It did not age well. I don't know.
It didn't do anything well. It didn't age well. It didn't release well.
So that's the super homoerotic one.
Yeah. So I'm just like... Oh. But they... Wes Craven came back for the third one, and that's... Then it brought it back to its kind of roots of scary. You know, I've had nightmares about the third Nightmare on Elm Street. More than the first
one. I had nightmares about
especially
the second
when his tendons came out and Freddy was playing puppeteer with him and he just like killed him. I was just like, dude, that shit scares the fuck out of me. Especially like claymation Freddy. That was.
How about when he's coming out of the TV and he lifts the girl up and smashes her head into the TV and says, "Welcome to primetime, bitch."
that was the official start of those one-liners of Freddy. So that was definitely probably the most memorable. So, for sure.
That's what I'm going to say next time I end up in a fight with somebody before I get my ass kicked. Welcome to primetime, bitch! So he just knocks me out.
I mean, at least you'll be knocked out with pride, I guess. I don't know.
Also, with horror sequels, with horror sequels means you're going to have horror idols like Freddy Krueger, for instance, you know, or Jason Voorhees or whatever. They both originated in the 80s. Before that, you didn't really see that. Maybe if you go back to like the 30s with like Frankenstein and the Wolfman, Dracula, whatever. But I think that was a huge shift in horror films when it comes to sequels and creating like, you know, just horror idols.
Yeah.
And Freddy's the number one for me. I think he's the best all around.
Who cemented themselves in horror? You know, those 4 years between 85 and 89, Jason Takes Manhattan.
It's my
one.
Fucking magic. Shit magic. Fucking just.
The first hour is on a boat. And then the rest of the movie is Jason Voorhees taking shots by a guy who's just punching him in the ribs and then gets... uppercutted by just a solid uppercut, and his head just falls off. So, and I'm just like, are you, you okay?
Put the mic closer to your mouth.
Oh, sorry. but that is probably my favorite death scene, besides the sleeping bag.
The uppercut?
No way, dude.
Yeah.
Jason X.
Oh, the fucking Frozen thing?
Yeah, he puts
thing
the girl's head in and, like, cryogenically freezes her head, and then he smashes her face on the counter. That's the best.
Anybody else see their ex's face in that when that happened?
There's no other reason to watch the movie, but watch it just for that scene alone.
Yeah, that's definitely...
I like that somebody tried to... Like, there at one point in the writer's room for Takes Manhattan, they were just like, all right, so Jason just walks everywhere, right? And then he just fucking shows up. Let's give the audience something different, okay? We'll confine them. Put them in a small... That was like a fucking ridiculous idea. But they're just, you know...
One of the many 80s horror rules, you know, they're all out there and they've been exemplified in stuff like Scream or like in Zombieland or whatever. One of them is no matter how slow the killer walks, he's always going to be faster than you. You can just fucking haul ass for as long as you can be... you can be Forrest Gump and just crossing the country. And the second you get to California, he's going to be right behind you. You're fine. You know, along with other things like don't say I'll be right back, and if you're backing into a room, you're going to definitely back right into the killer, or aim for the head, stuff like, you know, there's all kinds of 80s rules, and that's where we establish all these things that are, naturally, people break away from that in this day and age, but that was like when the template was formed, was in the 80s.
If they make another Jason movie, they need to put it on a Carnival cruise ship and just have them just fucking murdering families.
I'm telling you, Jason. Just,
and like, people are like covered in blood, but they won't leave the buffet line. They're just like, no, I'm next! Like, yeah. God, that would be fucking great, wouldn't it?
All right.
Well, also, shout out to our buddy Anthony making empanadas real quick. Give it up for him.
They're great.
One for three, two for five. He's also bartending tonight, so make sure you tip him. Also, if you're listening in and you heard that crackling noise go into the mics, that's him making empanadas. So if you're like, oh, the sound quality's weird, should have been here, could have had empanadas. Fuck you. All right. There's a lot of shame in this one for you guys.
Oh.
All right, we got about 20 minutes left.
20 minutes? That's it? All right. Well, we're going to roll through these sequels because we got Hellraiser 1 and 2, which became, God, talk about...
Fucked me up, dude. I should not have seen that at 7. I was... My dad was just like...
Yeah. We have such sights to show you, you know?
Your suffering like, will be legendary, even in hell.
Dude, Doug Bradley. Dude, Clive Barker making his own movie. He actually was reading Filmmaking for Dummies to make that film. Like, he didn't know anything.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Appreciate it, buddy.
He didn't know any
about the movie industry.
Nothing. He just knew that they were fucking up his movies, and he was sick of it. So he decided to make his own. And, well, I think the first one was Rawhead Rex, that they were just like...
He didn't direct. I think he was on for, like, producing credits or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it wasn't until I actually kind of went through the special features of how sexual that whole... movie is like, I'm just like, Clive Barker's a fucking pervert. He asked me.
He turned a lot of people onto BDSM, as he should have. You know,
he even got all of his stuff from that. What was the magazine? Do you remember the name of it that he got all of this?
Anybody from BDSM magazine? I know a couple of you're into this shit. Come on, it's 2019. No shame.
No, I know that was originally a part of the Books of Blood.
Yeah,
which I've read. I have the first three volumes of the Books of Blood, which are still some of the greatest like cornerstones of horror fiction, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, all of his stuff was like super erotic and sexual, and that carries into the Hellraiser movies a lot, especially part two.
Yeah. And you know, it really takes, you know, with movies like Hellraiser, the movies like The Fly, takes, and Evil Dead 2 even, like, it just takes that special effects to another level. Like, every time I watch The Fly, I get grossed out and I want to puke. Every time, like, anytime he just, like, every time you see Jeff Goldblum, he's way worse than he was. Like, it's just the worst thing. I feel like puking even talking about it because it's one of my favorite movies, but I can't watch it all the time. Like, you know...
Cronenberg is the best with body horror, man. Like I don't think he's ever done anything supernatural in his film because he considers himself a scientist and an atheist, and he won't do anything supernatural or otherworldly. It's just nasty special effects and body horror and all, like the head explosion in Scanners or the Brood, where the girl like gives birth to the baby and then licks the blood off the fetus. Sorry, that's a spoiler alert. That's just the tip of the iceberg with Cronenberg movies. And The Fly is just like the epitome of special effects for Cronenberg. It's so good. Yeah. I think they play upon like the same thing. And like American Werewolf in London's kind of like that. Every time his buddy comes back and is trying to convince him to kill himself and stuff like that, every time you see his friend, he's just more and more mangled, you know?
Yeah.
It's but yeah, I think The Fly is the best example of that, where you know that the next time you see Jeff Goldblum, it's going to be fucked up. Like, it's going to be worse and worse every time.
Yeah. It's like regular movies now.
I love that. Yeah, exactly. I love the dream sequence where she gives birth to like that crazy like maggot thing.
Ugh.
Whatever. Gina Davis. It's like writhing in her hand, in the doctor's hands. That was a really cool special effect.
I like to think that someone came to this just for like the beer, and they've never seen a horror movie before, and they're like, "Lick the blood off the fetus." I don't know, or they're really into it.
Giving
I like the idea.
Birth to maggots.
I like the idea that we just turn somebody into like a horror fan. Fucking dead bodies and
that's how the
'80s
was. You know, it's it just fit the culture at the time. Everybody just wanted excess. The way everybody dressed, they wanted they didn't want to have to. These movies were aimed at younger audiences, probably like
I have a theory, actually.
18 to 24 or something like that. They just wanted it to be absolutely as absurd and over the top as possible.
I have a theory. Cocaine. Yes. Many of you will do very bad versions of it tonight.
We talk about like Cronenberg and like kind of elevating probably the top of the level of special effects, but we haven't gotten to a movie that we, you know, it's kind of B-rated. Stuart Gordon directed it right after Reanimator. Well, two movies after Reanimator. We'll talk about the other one soon. Society. That movie is fucking insane with special effects. They had a face in an asshole. Picture this. I already said it. Don't worry.
Tell me
you're already there.
Tell me they weren't doing coke when they thought of that.
I don't know.
No, but like,
I wasn't
there. You can put a face anywhere. You can put a face anywhere. Just put it on their asshole. Just put it on their asshole.
Literally. It's about this secret society that came from a different planet, and they've taken over like a part of California.
And the lead character's whole family is a part of it.
Yeah. And so like the lead character's trying to figure out what's going on with his family and find out that there's something called the shunting. It's called the shunting. And what it is they just meld themselves together into one organism, and they just have this huge orgy. It takes, think of what you would think of necromantic and just goofifies it by, like, that's a word?
Yeah, goofifies, yeah, I'm on board.
By, like, a million. Like, there's just, the guy literally punches through his fucking mouth and rips out his skin from the back of his head.
Oh, yeah, that part's awesome. That's the best special effect in the movie.
Dude, even though it's just the super goofiest thing you've ever seen, but the special effects there are all practical effects. They just gave Stu Gordon just a bunch of fucking money, and they're just like, dude, do whatever you want. I was like, I'm gonna put faces on assholes, and it's like if you gave Lloyd Kaufman a bunch of fucking money. So it's exactly like that.
Lloyd Kaufman's the creator of trauma films from the '80s. For those who don't know, like the Toxic Avenger and Tromeo
where he
and
shits
Juliet.
Out himself, you know, stuff like that. You know.
The absolute lowest of the low, B, low-budget horror films from the '80s that are so beloved to us, you know.
Yeah.
But that exemplify, especially the late '80s, really well, you know.
Whoever thought of shitting themselves out of themselves is a fucking genius. That is the best.
You know.
Because I've felt like that before, but I'd never visualized it before that, you know.
But also, the late '80s came across, they really exemplified vampires. That was a big thing in the late '80s. It all started in 1985 with Fright Night with
Chris Sarandon,
the guy who played Peter Vincent, because they obviously stole that from
Susan Sarandon's brother.
Sure.
I made that up. I have no idea. I don't know anything. I know nothing.
Yeah, Peter Vincent was obviously Peter Cushing and Vincent Price, their names combined, and he's a horror show host. And I love that in horror films when they do the classic horror show host and they get involved, like in Terrorvision, another great late 80s horror movie with the Medusa character. But yeah, Peter Vincent, that's the best part of that movie.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and even so, like, this is another Tom Holland film. You know, this kind of put him on the map, which laid for Child's Play in 1987. It's actually one of my favorite vampire movies, only because, well, not only because, but the fact that it just pays tribute to all of them. You know, it really just dives into the whole lore of vampirism. You know, like, you know, we're going to talk about The Lost Boys in a minute and Near Dark, but, you know, that one just kind of has its full rounded, you know, aspect of what vampires are. And, you know, and they add a bit of, you know, comedy to it. They had, you know, some horror, like the, who's the lady? Darcy from Married with Children. She played
Darcy has been 40 since she was 16. She is. if you watch that movie, she's just like, she's. It's weird to watch her make out with a 16-year-old boy in that movie because you're like, oh, she's 40. She just said like less wrinkles. But she still looks old. It's crazy.
Yeah. Good joke, Zach. But.
I'm sorry. I try to keep the people fucking engaged. Please, no, go on about your movie some more. Oh, this is a really big dick for this.
I forgot this was a movie podcast. I totally forgot.
I know I'm trying to fucking... I am here for this reason. Anthony, thank you for the empanadas. God damn it!
Yeah, welcome to my life, people. Stuck right in between these two fuckers.
I tried to talk about movies and he's here. Like, comedy.
Somebody's got it. Look, someone has to sprinkle in some more shit and I am that person. All right, so let's do the end cap with Lost Boys and the other film.
Oh, we're ending it already? I didn't know.
Well, we got to get into a little bit of Night of the Living Dead before we get going.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. No, but it really rolls in, it really paves the way for these next two films with The Lost Boys and Near Dark because they came out in the same year, 1987. And for me, my taste is Near Dark. Like, I love The Lost Boys.
That's my favorite vampire film of the 80s. Near Dark is the shit. Yeah. They're just like nocturnal nomads traveling in a caravan with tinfoil on the windows across the country.
Lance Hinkerson and Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton is a fucking vampire.
Yeah.
That's the best thing in the world.
Wearing like cowboy boots with spurs on the back. Picture Bill Paxton as a
vampire. That's exactly how he is.
Yeah.
So
he literally slices somebody's throat with a spur on the back of his boot.
Fasten your fucking seatbelt. You know, like
that movie's the shit.
Has anybody ever seen Near Dark? One fucking person. That's a good thing. Go to your nearest eBay or Amazon and go download or whatever and go see Near Dark just for Bill Paxton's portrayal of a vampire. Yeah. It is so fucking good.
It's cool. It's
unique. Way better than Kiefer Sutherland's portrayal of a vampire.
Yeah, fuck Kiefer Sutherland.
Was that the first time that vampires were like kind of mobilized? You know, because you're always, as a vampire, it's like, how fucking scary can a vampire really be? Like, all I gotta do is find them in their coffin at night and stab them in the chest with a stake. Like, and they can't get me during the day. Like, it's like, in many ways, they can seem unthreatening, but these ones, they're traveling the country. Like, they're mobilized. They kind of break the rules of vampires in that film.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of like the vampire western setting a little bit, you know?
Yeah, so, but do you have anything to say? You haven't seen any of those
movies.
We're
not
going to
not mention Pet Sematary, right?
I've seen both of those movies. Oh, and Pet Sematary will be the end cap of the late 80s.
Right, we're not going to end cap it at that. You'll think we are, but we're not.
All right, Pet Sematary was the first horror film I ever saw when I was like 4 years old, and it fucked me up for life, basically. I can sit here and recount to you, if I had the time, so like probably 6 to 10 different nightmares I had about the movie. I was scared to go to the bathroom by myself. I was scared to cross the street at night by myself. That movie fucked me. I think it's one of the scariest horror films of all time, and the scariest horror film of the 80s. Over The Shining, over anything, I think it's the scariest horror film of the 80s.
Over Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Henry Portrait of Scarecrow. Why don't you say the name game right here, right now? Phantasm 2.
Great sequel.
Yeah, just still not nearly as good. Let's see. Predator, never mind.
First one's amazing. Everything else is fucking weird as shit.
What do you think is scarier than Pet Sematary that came out in the 80s? Good choice.
That's a good choice.
That would be my second choice.
Honestly, for me, it's preference. It always will be. It's Child's Play. I fucking... Imagine being a kid and you get a doll and it fucking tries to kill you. Like, that shit sucks. That's the worst thing of all time. Imagine Woody you know, your cowboy friend that you think is all about you and then tries to fucking kill you. That's terrifying.
I'm going to say The Burbs.
That is,
yeah.
Arguably not even horror. The only reason I don't mention, like one of my favorite films of all time is Beetlejuice. Like, I don't know if I consider it horror, you know, more so than an adventure comedy sort of, you know. The Burbs definitely is more comedy than, it doesn't fit in a horror.
If you just want to watch
category.
Tom Hanks question his career choice for an hour and a half, he's just like running around going, I don't know why I signed on to this, like over and over
it
again.
Does,
it's fucking great.
You know.
He screams the entire movie.
That is true. And so definitely good. Not. I wouldn't call it a horror movie. Definitely not.
No, it's more like suspense thriller. But
yeah, that's like his most neurotic
comedy.
Role. Like, he is just suspense fucked the entire comedy. Movie. Like, he can't wrap his head around it. He's just dealing with these crazy, absurd. It's like a Twilight Zone episode, that movie.
Yeah.
That movie's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
You know, we understand that we've missed a lot of movies that we haven't talked about, which is fine. You guys probably want to get to the movie. But we'll just mention them as just a passing. Prince of Darkness by John Carpenter.
Great film.
Fucking super scary. This is just for movies that you should fucking look at. Frankenhooker, which is, I guess, 90s. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
I love Elvira.
Night of the Demons, Phantasm 2. Pumpkinhead, Lance Hinkerson.
I'm marry Elvira right now. I don't care what she looks like.
You're
going to
meet her in a couple weeks.
Fucking, oh, God, I love
Sorority
her so
Babes of the Slimeball Bullorama. Bullorama. That's a good one right there. Vampire's Kiss. Does anybody know what Vampire's Kiss is?
Yeah. That's. Yeah.
Hey, there it is. I'm a vampire.
Yeah, if you've never seen the montage of Nicolas Cage loses his shit on YouTube, it's just every
you're
time Nicolas Cage
screams. You're
fucking
missing out.
You got to watch that. It's a type of Nicolas Cage loses shit on YouTube, and you're welcome.
Right. You know, we'll talk about Terror Vision, Bad Taste, which is Peter Jackson. We'll talk about way more Peter Jackson when we talk about the 90s. Maximum Overdrive with Emilio Estevez and a bunch of semis that decide to drive themselves. With AC/DC doing the entire soundtrack.
Which was
Cat's Eye, which is another Stephen King film. Demons, which is Italian horror. Let's see. Anything else? Anything else off the top of your
mind? Oh, fuck. I was
going
to bring Demons to give out tonight, too. I forgot it.
From Beyond. Awesome. Thank you, Stuart Gordon. What else? The Stuff. God, that was something we should have talked about. So, what was that?
The Blob.
The Blob in 1985. We obviously missed a lot, but to keep you entertained past these three people right here.
And I know every one of your names, so we'll give you a shout out on the next episode, and I'll give you nothing else.
Yeah, so.
I'm poor. Okay.
So,
Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, Night of the Living Dead.
Let's talk about the remake of Night of the Living Dead before we get to this.
He's angry already.
Tom Savini decided to do this.
Well, let's, real quick, make some noise if you've seen the remake of Night of the Living Dead. Okay, good, good.
Let's hear a shout if you like that movie.
I like that they did it, I guess. I don't, yeah.
You know, it really, I wouldn't call it underrated, but George A. Romero was a part of it. You know, Tom Savini was a big part of it. You know, Tony Todd from Candyman was a big part of it. Like, it just, it really had potential, but it just didn't do it, you know, for anybody. So.
Some of you have heard me say that I fall for things really easy about being gullible about people telling me shit. Someone, I saw that when I was like 9 or 10, and somebody was like, yeah, it's the same movie, they just colorized it. And so as an adult, I was like telling people, like, yeah, same movie.
They actually did that with the original.
They
though,
did do it with the original.
I remember I owned that DVD at one point in time. Yeah, it looked like shit.
Yeah, well, another 10-year-old told me that, and I just went, okay. And I just fucking told people. Yeah.
But, you know, Night of the Living Dead was obviously the creation of a new genre. We're talking about 1964, right?
68.
Is it
68?
I'm 4 years off.
Look at me knowing shit. Yeah. Yeah, fuck you guys. Yeah, I'm on
Zach
top of it, dude.
Zach gets House on Haunted Hill remake
that's because,
DVD. That's great. Fuck
that's because
you.
I meticulously searched the internet to make sure we could show this for free without us getting sued. Yeah. Oh, let's talk about that real quick because that's an interesting
story.
I'll cover it real quick. So basically there's a copyright. You have to do a certain way that you have to do your copyright, and it has to be on the credits of your film and on the script that you turn in. Everything you do has to have a certain copyright to it, and they did none of that because it was an independently made film, and he gave it to a company who didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So every zombie thing you've seen since Night of the Living Dead is all copyrighted and you can't fucking do anything with it. The very first one, it's usually 100 years out or sometimes less. Like Roger Corman didn't do the right stuff with a lot of his like Bucket of Blood and shit like that. So you can watch a lot of Roger Corman stuff you can just show. But don't quote me on that. But this, they didn't fucking copyright it correctly. And so you can actually show Night of the Living Dead without having to pay.
It was originally going to be a different title, and they changed it due to issues with they thought they were going to get sued by somebody else who had made a movie with a similar title.
Right.
And then when they changed the title, they forgot to put the copyright at the beginning of the movie. So now to this day, after like legal actions, they can't do anything about it. It's public domain. It is over 50 years old now. It is over half a century old.
I'm sure we're probably still breaking the law somehow, but whatever.
Absolutely
we're
not.
Showing it. Yeah, we're not.
And if you think that I am, please tell me before I start this fucking movie. I cannot afford to get
sued. We've already shown it once last year, so it doesn't matter.
No one knows that. Okay,
also, that copyright goes into why there was a bunch of zombie, I would say, quote unquote, zombie movies that came out in the next 30 years because they didn't copyright anything about them. So the rules, shoot them in the head, destroy the brain, the dead will walk the earth. Like, you didn't have to ask George A. Romero's permission. You could just do it. And that was a big, he could have made a fuck ton more money if, he made the rights to it. But that's just not the case this time.
So it's like a gift he accidentally gave us all. So yeah. Now we get to have Walking Dead and all this cool shit, all these movies throughout the years, all because of one person's error. But hey, now we get to have as much zombie shit as we want. It gets a little saturated sometimes. I'm on an audiobook of something called The Zombie Chronicles, spelled with a K.
You are?
And yeah, I eat a fake pussy. this is a fucking real thing. If you find the book The Zombie, it's a graphic novel called The Zombie Chronicles with a K, and I play a character that gets eaten. He gets bit by a zombie while he's going down on his girlfriend in the woods. So
dude,
if you want to hear me,
why the fuck didn't you bring that in as a raffle prize?
Fuck!
What's wrong with you?
That's a great idea. I should have done that. Fuck! Look up The Zombie Chronicles and you can hear me fucking... Dude, you'll have to see my act sometimes when I talk about that. I rarely do it, but just eating a
you'll
fake pussy
You'll see it
is,
on Facebook, don't
yeah,
worry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you.
Because
okay.
We'll post it every day with Zach, so...
Oh, I'm sorry
All
I promote
events,
shows. Fuck me, right?
Day,
I like to have an audience.
That's okay.
All right, I got to tip my hat real quick before we end it or whatever to Mr. George A. Romero, who is the godfather of the zombie genre,
yes.
Not just because of this movie, but because he reinvented the zombie genre every decade. This movie's amazing. It was super scary, drive-in classic at the time. They made it for like $150,000 out
of
Pittsburgh.
Which is fucking crazy.
They literally, like some of the special effects, they used like their meatball sub that they were eating for lunch. Like, we don't have the money for special effects. We're just going to throw blood all over this meatball sub. And that's what we're going to do. And it's just really interesting how low budget it was and how it was very, provocative at the time during civil rights issues. The lead character, the hero of the story, is a black male, and that wasn't really common in cinema at the time. So they were intentionally pushing boundaries and trying to like break free of like some of those thought processes. The ending, I won't say anything about it, but it's very controversial for sure. It's a lot different than anything you would have seen at the time.
Yeah,
but
the entire movie is controversial.
Yeah,
If
you're watching the film and you think like at some point you're like, oh, I've seen this before, it's literally because of the thing you're watching. Like everything you're about to watch, like, was cemented because of this. The being stuck with people in a room thing, like they took some of the stuff from older films, but a lot of this film created everything that you already have seen. This was the progenitor of all that. So,
and then you did it again with Dawn of the Dead in the 70s, and with Day of the Dead in the 80s. Like, it's the perfect way to differentiate between zombie films or just films in general between those three decades, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Romero did it all. He's like one of the godfathers of horror. He was the best. I got to meet him, and it was one of the highlights of my life. It was he's the shit.
Yeah.
George A. Romero. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Exactly. Toast to George A. Romero, everybody. Legend.
Yes.
Oh, God.
So.
We're ripping off your movie, dude.
Sorry, we're taking your money for free.
Like, it'd be like $250 or something. It's not. He was fine. He was fucking rich.
I'm sure he's cool with it. He's dead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's nothing after this. It's
fine. This was definitely a much condensed version of our original show.
Yeah.
We appreciate all of you coming
Thank
to
you
see.
Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome.
Hopefully us, not just the movie. But, hey, there's one. So, next week we'll be talking 90s horror. The week after that, right before Halloween, we'll be talking about the 2000s and the future of horror as well.
And we will have a live podcast on the 25th at Cinematique, and then yep. showing Evil Dead remastered soundtrack.
It is a complete remastered soundtrack of the original film. It's not a redone soundtrack.
It's a whole new soundtrack to the original film.
It's the same soundtrack, just redone.
It's the same soundtrack.
Fuck you, Zach.
I know nothing. I can't stress this enough.
Zach knows a lot about House on Haunted Hill on DVD.
Well,
so.
It's not mine anymore.
Apparently it's somebody else's. But
anyway,
yes, you
thank
can,
you guys.
Like I said, we're going to end the show. You can see us on October 25th, Cinematique. We're going to be doing the Evil Dead. Nice condensed version of what we do. What'd you say? Yes,
25th. Yes.
And, apparently our sound guy didn't get the memo.
25th. 25th. Sound guy will be there. Don't you worry. It's going to get done.
If he's not, we're fucked.
Yeah. We won't have a show.
So that's the end of the show portion
yep,
pretty
that's
much.
That's the end of the show right now. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We obviously enjoyed talking to ourselves here.
you guys are awesome. Thank you guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We'll be raffling off things. Actually, yeah, why can't we fucking raffle off things right now?
All right, we'll do this. Do you guys want to? Well, I'm gonna do for real. Audience vote. Do you guys want to do the raffle now, or do you want to start the movie right away and do the raffle after? Make some noise. Make some noise if you want to start the raffle now. Make some noise. No one gives a shit about
because nobody of this. Wants to win a House on Haunted Hill blue DVD.
Who wants to see the movie first and then do the raffle?
All right.
My fucking instincts were right. All right, so before all we get started, just so you know, Andrew's going to be walking around with the bucket so that you can buy tickets off him. It's $2 for a raffle ticket, or you can get... It's $2 for a raffle ticket, you can get 3 for $5. There's Nosferatu with the buck teeth. It's fucking awesome. That's from an original artist, super awesome dude. He also made this fucking killer shit that I know every last one of you want, probably, you fucking Satanist. So we're really giving away the main poster. All right. So
yeah, we just gave
Matt
it
gave
away.
Away the main
I
poster
gave it away.
He's been fucking drinking all day.
Gave it away.
So here's a Pet Sematary poster from the new Pet Sematary. You can win that new Pet Sematary poster. I got that tonight. You can win the Blu-ray. It's a combination one. Blu-ray, Dawn of the Dead. Or Blu-ray, Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, and Shaun of the Dead. You can win the collection of that. There is... who did I give Blair Witch to? I gave Blair Witch to Billy. That's right. Okay. No. Okay. Billy doesn't want this horseshoe. You can win the first one. Also, you can win... I got 2 copies of Drunkard Magazine we're going to give away. There's a gift card to... A $10 gift card to DB Pickles.
Don't we
Shout
have
out
a
DB
bar
Pickles.
Tab that we're paying for?
We're
going to
give away a $20 bar tab. $20 bar tab. So
it's all free,
make sure
baby.
You do that. And, but you can use the bar tab, whatever. And also, of course, the skull shot glass I got from Altercation Fest, which Billy wants. You want that one? All right. Skull shot glass is what Billy gets instead of this fucking thing. So, yeah. All right. $2 a ticket or 3 for $5.
All right. Well, since that's the raffle, that's the show. We hope you enjoy the film. We're going to have it set up in just the next 10, 15 minutes.
Yep.
You have myself, Matt Wallace. You have Drew Brown right here. Andrew
Brown.
Say
goodbye. Thank you, guys.
You have Zach goodbye. Bennett here, who has shows here all the time. Don't need to fucking...
Every Wednesday, come here and watch comedy, or don't, but probably do. Please. Thanks.
And also, listen to the Average Joe Movie Show. Yeah. We try to add shows every Sunday that we can. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google. Any place you can find podcasts, you'll be there. We'll be there. And we'll see you there.